Good morning. How are you guys? I thought I've been here long enough to know the seasons and, you know, to understand Canada. But every time the summer comes around, I found this country to be a new place, you know? So it's like, you know, I don't understand what happens in the summer, but for some reasons, it's a completely different city, completely different people. Everyone is gone, everyone is coming. It's like amazing to see. But yeah, I definitely had like three consolations this week alone from the worship team. So I was like, all right, like no worries, no problem at all, you know? Summertime, we're going to have to multi-purpose. Anyways, I'm so blessed to be here again. They usually say when you're allowed on the same platform twice means you did okay the first time. So, Pastor Dev was like, you know, in the summer we're gonna put you on again. You know, you're gonna preach. And I was like, well, let's see how the first one goes first, you know. And so I'm glad I've been given this opportunity one more time. It's always a great pleasure. It's always a great honor to stand in front of you. And I haven't stood in front of so many of you. You know, usually it was like one, half the size of the people who are in the room today. So it wasn't as intimidating, you know. But today, you're all here. No, it's not intimidating. It's a beautiful thing to be all together and to be able to share the word of God together. It's a really great. It's wonderful. So we are doing a series on Psalms. And I love Psalms. Psalms, for me, they're honest, right? There is a lot of, like, accusations around about who God is and how he's like, sometimes some people portray our God as an authoritarian figure who is in heaven deciding, you know, whatever happens in the world and all of that. And I personally disagree, because I know a God who cries when people die. I know a God who, you know, who is there in the mess with us. But more than anything, if you read the Psalms, you realize how much people responded to God. You know, the different styles of how people, when you read Psalms, you realize some Psalms have an angry tone, some Psalms have a happy tone, others have like a complaint tone, others have, you know, all of these emotions are represented in the Psalms. So for me, as a songwriter, as a musician, it's the place to go where when I feel like I want to express myself to God the way I should, without fear. Because sometimes we fear God and we don't want to tell him how we feel, but the Psalms are the perfect way of that shows us how people have expressed themselves before God. And so today I will be talking about Psalms 27. And I got Psalm 27, and I'm going to read. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles in the pews right in front of you. And you could also follow on the screen as the passage will be up there. So Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me. God, my Savior, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in the straight path in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Amen. I gotta confess, I've been familiar with Psalms. I read Psalms a lot when I first became a Christian, knowing especially that God was calling me to be a musician and to be a singer. I spent so much time in the Psalms. But for some reasons, this Psalm never caught my attention. Even though it's a very popular Psalm, but it never hit me as other Psalms hit me, like Psalm 23, which is, you know, a classic, yeah. Psalm 91, an amazing one, you know, that talks about the protection of God. The Psalms 127, that talks about God's, 24, that talks about God surrounding us as the mountains surround Jerusalem. So many Psalms caught my eye, but not this one particularly. But when I was told that I would be preaching from Psalm 27, I went and took a deeper look into this Psalm, and I found some really, really cool things that I will be sharing with you guys. And as an aspiring preacher, I was told that it's always good. It's more memorable when you have some memorable things. So my sermon today is going to be known as the three P's sermon, okay? So when you read this psalm, when you read this psalm, you realize that there are three themes that are woven together into this psalm, okay? And one of them, and all the three is position, protection, and prayer. So there you go. Those are your three P's, okay? And so position, what I mean by position, it really means your context. It means where are you? Where are you? Some of you may be aware that I'm doing a master's degree at Regent. And this degree is called MALTS, okay? MALTS stands for Masters of Arts, Leadership, Theology, and Society. And as soon as you get into this program, the first thing you learn is, they say MALTS, the entire time you're going to be here, you're going to be trying to answer three questions. Those questions are, I was going to put Brenda on the spot today because Brenda just started this program, but apparently she's walking downstairs. they're trying to answer three questions. The first question is, who am I? Identity. Who am I? You're trying to answer the question of who am I, your identity. Second question they're trying to answer is, where am I? What's my context? Yeah? And the third question they're trying to answer is, why am I? What's my purpose? Why am I here? What am I doing here on earth? Okay? So there you go. I'm happy to share $30,000 education for free today. So if you look back at the book of Genesis, when the fall just happened, the first thing God asked Adam is, where are you? Where are you? It's a very important question. Where are you? Where is your position right now? Where are you standing in relation to your family? Where are you standing in relation to your spirituality, for example? What's your context in relation to your money? How do you relate with your money? It's very important. Where are you? It's a very important question that even God himself had to ask Adam, where are you? You know? So that's the first question I'm going to ask you. And I'm going to give you guys 30 seconds to discuss. Maybe you haven't even thought about it, but where are you in relation to everything that you're involved with in this world? Where are you? Ask your neighbor, where are you? Where are you standing right now? All right, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome back. Thank you. So, just so you know, where you are determines so many things, you know? The family you were born in, where you are determines your confidence, for example. Determines your mannerism. It determines your behavior, you know? The family that you were born into determines how, where you are, your family, the family you are in, determines how you behave, how you relate with other people. For example, if you're Prince Harry, you're not going to be on the streets, you know, just like walking anyhow, among the commoners like us, you know. You're not going to be there, you know. The family you were born in determines how you behave, you know, the kind of mannerism you're going to have. The country you were born in, you know, determines some of the things, some of the behavior, some of the mannerism, right? My first job as an undergrad graduate was I was working for an NGO, an international NGO. I was a country director for an international NGO, and one of my jobs was to receive mission teams, right? And most of the mission teams that we received were coming from Canada and from America, from the US. And sometimes the two teams would be in our guest house at the same time. And one thing I realized is that when we announced something or when it was time to do something, Americans didn't need permission for anything. They just jumped in, right in. If it was time to eat, they just grabbed the food, you know, and all of that. And the Canadians were like slowly, you know, kind of growing into the action, you know. But then later, when everyone goes to bed, like I'm just hanging out with everyone, the Canadians will still always be complaining about the Americans. It's like, those Americans, you know. And then I moved to Canada, and I was like, oh, this thing is actually on another level here, why, you know. So I'm just saying, you know, there's some things, you know, when you, you know, my brother T-Badge up there, you know, Nigerians, when you go in a place where a Nigerian is, you're gonna know a Nigerian is there. My brother is gonna be loud and clear, you know? Except T-Badge, of course. T-Badge is the most chill Nigerian I've ever seen. But anyways, where we are determines our behaviors, our mannerisms, our countries, our families, where we come from. All of these things determine how we do life, you know? So it's very important. The job you have, I don't know where the CEO hangs out in this city, you know? I don't know what the farmers are doing right now, do you know? Are they watching the Olympics? I don't know. Anyway, so your context influences who you are, how you behave. However, all of these things, your job, whether you're a CEO, whether you're a farmer, whether you're a pastor, I know that the pastors, NSA pastors hang out at Brazza Coffee Shop. That one I know, you know. So whatever you do, all of these things have an expiration date. Whatever you do, wherever you are, whatever money you have, whatever house you own, the car you drive, whatever it is, all of these things, one day they're going to come to an end, okay? So here, the psalmist is redirecting us to a different kind of context, where we should be, or where God wants us. He's inviting us to look at it. So three times in this psalm, the psalmist talks about our position and what kind of benefits, what comes with that position, right? Because when you are in a certain place, there's some other things that are added. If you are a CEO, you know, you probably have a job, you probably have some decision to make, you have some, you know, all of these cool things that come along. It's the same thing in the presence of God. And this psalmist is also showing us that you, where you should be. And so he's inviting us. So when you look at verse 1, for example, if you can go back to the scripture, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall." And basically, he's saying, he said, in, this is a position. He says, I am under his light, under his salvation. As long as I'm under his light, and he's going to push away the darkness, and I will be saved. As long as I'm under his lordship, I'm going to see his salvation. That's what he's saying from in verse 1 and verse 2. Also in verse 4, he says, in verse 4, as we read it, verse 4 says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, that I may be positioned, that my context should be in the house of the Lord. Right? Psalmist again is asking us to, is asking to be put in the right position, the house of God, or in the presence of God, rather. Verse 13 and verse 14, if you can move on to the next slide. It says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Again, he's saying, the psalmist is saying, once again, he's again confessing a confidence he draws from the position, from the posture of being in the presence of God. That's where we want to be. That's the only context you want to be in. It doesn't matter what family, it definitely does matter what family you come from, but it's not, it shouldn't be the thing that determines where you draw your confidence, where you draw your strength, where you draw your hope and all of that. It should always be in the presence of God. This brings me to other passages that talk about the same positioning that the psalm is talking about. The Psalm 91 that I mentioned earlier, which also Brendan preached on last Sunday, says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. If you are positioned in the Most High, you will rest in his presence. He again say, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. There come some benefits of being in the presence of God, because he's going to be your fortress and he's going to be your refuge. The one, my God in whom I trust. Another one which is my favorite, and this one is in the New Testament. It's John chapter 15 from verse 5 to 8. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. What happens next? Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask wherever you wish. Wherever you are, you wish. It's not wherever you want or wherever you need. It's you wish. Your wishes will be my commands, basically. Come on, that's powerful. Whatever you wish, I want that limo right now. I want that. You know? But he says, whatever you wish, it will be done for you. This is for my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Our lives should not be determined by the money we have, by the house we own, the job we have, or the country we come from. Our lives are determined by how close we are to God and how much we live in his presence. Also knowing that there are benefits that come with that. Like being able to ask wherever you wish and having God as your refuge and your fortress. There is your position, your context, where you are. It matters so much. Number two, the second theme that is woven together in this psalm, it's a theme of protection. There is a lot of protection that the psalmist is mentioning here in this psalm. And I was wondering, why would he bring up protection? And I just realized that the Bible talks about being alive, being safe, you know, a lot. God himself, he says, I'm a God of the living. God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Safety first. You know, everything happens in life. What does that mean? You have to have life for anything else to happen. Your dreams, your aspirations, your whatever it is, you have to have life. So if you don't have life, there is not, you know, it's over. It's over. It's done, you know? The Bible says that as long as you have life in you, there is still hope, you know? Life is important. And so protection is one of the most important components of life. It does not matter how much money you have, how famous you are, or how successful you become if there is no guarantee of how long that will last. It doesn't. So people travel all over the world seeking asylum, seeking immigration because of their safety. These people, they're not broke back in their countries. Many of them are doctors. Many of them are professors. They have achieved things. But as long as their life comes in face to face with danger, they gotta run. They gotta get out. You know. So protection is important. People move from one area to another. You know, people move from one area to another because some neighborhoods are not safe for you and for your family. Thank God for the North Shore. On the other hand, people who have means spend so much money trying to make sure that they are safe and they can live to see another day. And with this, I was curious to know how much money people spend, how much celebrities spend on their security. So I went on Google and found this. Interesting stuff. I found there was like a list of 15 people. So I only did five. I only came up with five. Number five, there's Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. They spend $7.8 million annually on their safety, on their security. Number four, Kanye West. He spends $20 million on his protection. $20 million, that's protection alone. Number three, there is Mark Zuckerberg, who spends $22 million. Now, wait for it. Number four, $88 million. $88 million, Jay-Z and Beyonce. Do you guys want to know who number one is? You want to guess? Someone mentioned, someone said it? Donald Trump. $120 million. That's how much money people spend on their protection. Now, how much do you spend on your protection? Just curious. It may be obvious. It may be obvious enough, you know, but your protection depends largely on your position. You will be protected by the context you are in. Some of us enjoy this safety because of the area we live in, right? Some of you the insurance that you have depends on the job you have. You know what I mean? So that's why you have dental, and maybe some of us don't. You know. Thus, your position determines your protection. Amen? So it's very tied together. And so we look at the position of where God wants us and how protection comes along with that, because it's very important to be protected. It's very important to know that you have a life so you can dream, you can have all of these ideas and become successful, or whatever it is in life. You have to have a life. You have to be protected. So, in the psalmist is talking about from verse 1 to 3. He says, "I have no one or a situation to fear as long as I am under the Lord's care." From verse 1 to 3, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Protection. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Protection. When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Protection. Man. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. Protection. Amen. He goes on from verse 5 and verse 6. He again reminds us of the benefits of staying in the Lord. For in the day of trouble, you will see salvation, and your head will not be bowed but exalted. Verse 5 and 6 says, he says, for in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Amen. And he goes on again. He brings it up on verse 10. He says, now this is even more personal. Some of you might have had, you know, terrible relationship with your parents, you know. But he brings it up. He makes it very, very personal. He says, on verse 10, he says, even though my father and mother may forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Amen. Protection is very important to God. That's why he protects you. I don't know if you guys saw a video that emerged after the guy who spends the most money on his protection almost got shot. It was this close. It was this close. So I don't know how many of you guys saw the video and the animation video of how close it was. Any of you saw that? Yeah, and that's kind of stuff you can't explain. Whether you're a believer or you don't. How is it that someone could be speaking like this and just one motion, just for no reason, just one motion somehow, you escape a bullet.
Amen.
That's, amen. Amen.
How we did it, you won't be free until you know the truth.
There you go.
Amen.
Anyway, so that protection, it comes from God. You know, some of you as well know that I'm a genocide survivor, right? There is a story, every story that comes from that time is insane, it's crazy. But there is one story that captured my memory. This guy, he tells his story. He was sharing his story. He said he had people. Some killers wouldn't kill you right on the spot, especially if their children were there or if. If it was in the middle of the road, they didn't want to spill blood in the road, all of that. And so what they did is, they will walk you to a place where they will go finish you and kill you. So this guy is being escorted by three people with like machetes and guns, and he's going to be killed. He's being taken to a place where he's going to feel safe to be killed. So he's walking. They're walking, and these guys are behind him, and they're walking. And this guy realizes that his shoelaces have been untied, and so he asks. He says, "Can you please let me tie my shoe?" And so he bends over to tie his shoe. As soon as he bends over to tie his shoe, an errant bullet comes and hits the guy who was behind him. You know? So some of these things you can't explain, because there is a God in heaven who is watching over us, who is always, whose eyes never shut. He's always open, looking up for us. He is a God who is watching for us, who is making sure that we are safe in whatever situation. Some of these people who come here, who have come, you know, from like war zones and places like that, they will tell you some stories that you wouldn't believe. And I'm pretty sure even you yourselves, you have some stories like that, where you were near death and something somehow like just moved you from the spot, and all of a sudden a car came and hits like five other people. You can't explain those things. That is God's divine protection. That is available through common grace, which means God loves everyone. He protects everyone, but also very special to the ones who are in the Lord, who walk with him day to day. Amen. Now finally, the psalmist is talking about prayer. Prayer is a third theme that is woven together in this psalm. On verse 4, he says, "One thing do I ask of the Lord, is to be in his presence." Verse 4 says, if you can go to verse 4 one more time. He says, verse 4 there, he says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble," you see how connected it's all together? How it's all connected? He says, "I want to be in his presence. I want to be in his temple. One thing I ask is to be in the Lord, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Because of that position, for in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling." Amen. He goes on verse 7, from verse 7 to verse 9, again he says, "Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior." Prayer. So, we started from position, context, and then moved on to protection. Our context, our position, really determines the kind of protection we have, you know, whether spiritually or physically. But the only way to stay in that position is to continually have a relationship with the one who puts you there. You go to him all the time and you tell him, "I am grateful, I am thankful. That thing you helped me go through, it's because of you, God. I am grateful." That's what prayer is. Prayer is acknowledging, it's being grateful, it's always telling him, worshiping him, exalting him, and telling him, "I am grateful that you have put me in this context and you are protecting me every day. And I just want to be here and tell you how much I am grateful and how much I want to spend time with you in your presence." Amen? So, as I conclude, it's very important, it's paramount to realize that our safe and lasting position or context is found in the presence of God and not in any other earthly things. When we stay in that position, we realize that there are many benefits that come with that reality, with protection at the top of the list, because you want to be alive first. Anything else happens in life, you have to have life for the happenings to happen in life. So you got to be alive. Protection is very important. And then the only way to keep this relationship is to remain in his presence through prayer and worship. Amen. God bless you. And let me have the worship team come back. Again, a reminder is that prayer is available. If you would like prayer, especially if something strike a chord for you during this sermon, please go and find prayer on three corners, in the four corners. Yeah, there will be the front and the back, the corners in the back. So God bless you as we sing these songs, the prayer will be available. Please go ahead and receive prayer. Thank you.